Welcome everyone to the Open in Indiana podcast, where we feature the people, places, and events that make Indiana a great place to live, work, and visit. Today, our guest is a multi-entrepreneur, the founder of Sparks Talk, president of Creed Improvements, and probably best known as Captain Selfie, Chris Reed. Chris, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks so much for inviting me on.
You are very welcome. Chris, I wanted to ask you, how did you get started as an entrepreneur and what led you to be involved with multiple businesses simultaneously?
Probably lack of discipline to answer the last question first. Saying yes to too many people is how I got involved in multiple businesses. But how I became an entrepreneur, the short version, or I'm going to give you the 2-minute version is, I was about 35, 36 years old, struggling if I was really doing what I should be doing. I came out of college with a marketing degree and was in sales and marketing for the enterprise space. And I went through a downsizing and I was really just trying to figure out if I was doing really what I should be doing. And so a guy from my church suggested that I just ask men that I knew and respected to get a cup of coffee and talk. And through doing that, I call it networking on purpose. I was led down about 40 cups of coffee over about a 90-day period, led me to meet a gentleman who was, I'm going to call him an Uber entrepreneur, because he's like me. He had 3 or 4 businesses going simultaneously. And I decided I would go to work for him as a marketing specialist. And started meeting people on purpose and networking like mad. And in a year, I had met about 1,400 people, collected 1,400 business cards in a year, and sat down and had 650 cups of coffee with people. I didn't make a lot of money that year, to be honest with you. I was really lucky. I had a roof over my head because what I did was I met a lot of good people. And after a year of doing that and building that momentum, I decided that the people that I saw that were running their own businesses, I didn't feel like they were any smarter than I was. And so maybe from a lack of humility, I decided I could do it too. And so I started Creed Improvements. Gosh, that's about 12 or 13 years ago now. Told everybody, hey, this is what I'm doing. And I had built up such a following with meeting all these people that when I told them this is what I was doing, they were like, well, he seems like a nice guy. He shows up on time. He's styled his hair every day the same. And let's give him a shot. And so where the business went from zero to $20,000 in billing in like 6 months. Wow. Because of word of mouth marketing and the social media marketing that I had set up through networking, and networking on purpose, I like to call it. And so, I was probably 6 months into it before I realized that I really didn't know what I was doing, and I was just kind of faking it along. But just a quick shout out to say that I'm really thankful for every one of those people that have helped me along the way. Certainly wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the village, so to speak, of entrepreneurism that's come along through Indiana as a result of the efforts that I've put forth. I don't know, it's a long way around the bush, but it's like I was probably about 2 years into Creed Improvements when a friend, a business coach, said that he thought I could do even more. And I was running a networking event and for a group here in town. And they asked me if I would be interested in doing some business coaching because of what I had done for my business. And so I started doing some business coaching on the side and found it quite enjoyable. Enjoy listening to other entrepreneurs. And of course, being a high D type A personality, if you ask me my opinion, I'm going to let you know exactly what I think and how I feel. And it helped a lot of people though, because of the journey that I'd been through. And I wound up with like 6 or 8 coaching clients that I spent about a year and a half, almost 2 years with. And you get pretty tight with those people you're coaching. And this guy from my church asked me if he could just outsource his social media marketing to me. This is probably 2010. And so I started, I went to these guys I was coaching because I was in the home improvement space and I'd done such a great job of growing this business that you'd think that I would be coaching other home improvement people, but I wound up coaching a graphic designer, a writer, a software coder, and somebody else. I can't remember, web designer, maybe. Yeah, web designer. And these four guys. And when I got that request from the guy at church that wanted me to do a social media marketing, I turned to these guys and said, hey, how about if I just start a brand that you all can work underneath as subcontractors, and we'll allow these people to outsource their marketing to us. And that's how Cast a Bigger Net got started about eight years ago. Gosh, no, over 8 years ago. And so that whole social media marketing wave, you know, kind of went through, and, you know, probably 3 or 4 or 5 years into it, everybody became an expert in social media marketing. And, you know, the short of how I got, I'm telling you probably the longer version of this, you probably should have stopped me for 5 other questions. I apologize, but, it's been a really interesting journey. I've certainly met a lot of people along the way and enjoyed every minute of all the networking I've done.
And so as you've continued to build your network larger and larger, you founded what is now one of the most popular Northside Indie networking events. Would you like to tell us how Sparks came to be and how you run that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you. So thanks for the compliment on Sparks, too. We've been doing it for over 8 years now. And Sparks started, I was running a networking evening event for another organization, and I was getting pretty tired of it. It'd been like 4.5 years. And I don't mean tired of it from a standpoint of, you know, I'd love meeting new people. But what I got tired of was it was the same old thing over and over and over again. There was no challenge to it. I call it phoning it in. Whenever you start phoning it in, something's going to go wrong or it's going to go downhill. You're not focused. You're not growing the energy there, et cetera. And so we were going to move locations, and I got challenged that if we were going to do something different, we should do it. And Robbie Slaughter and I had a great conversation about what inspired me, which was watching TED Talks online. I found great inspiration almost, you know, weekly of finding some nugget from somebody and then sharing it out across social media. But what I realized in that process was that if you or I, Ryan, see a public speaker, we're going to walk away with different things that we got from them. And if I can just talk with you afterwards about that, I can find out what you got out of it. I can share what I got out of it. We'll grow that much faster. And I wasn't getting that off of the social media share. And so I thought, you know, why don't we do that? And that's kind of how Sparks came about 8 years ago. The first guy that ever gave a Sparks talk said, he said, I'm going to save his name so he never comes and at me. but he said, this will never work. And I said, why is that? And he said, because in order to get your point across, it's going to take at least 15, 25 minutes to 30 minutes. And I said, nah. I said, if you have a timer and you know that that's all you get, you'll take advantage of every minute you have. And he, the night of the first event, it's the funniest story, because night of the first event, he was going to be the only speaker. We were going to announce what Sparks was, how it was going to work. And this guy was going to demonstrate how it was going to work. And we were going to put 10 minutes on the clock. And he was supposed to send me the slides the day before, doesn't send me the slides. I'm texting him. He's like, I'll be there. Okay, great. Walks in like literally 10 minutes of showtime, hands me a FOB drive, says, put these slides up on your laptop. And I copied over, I kid you not, 165 slides. And it was his rendition of Simon Sinek's Start With Why, which I'm sure you're familiar with and everything. And it was one of those things where I just looked at him and I was like, you've got to be kidding me, right? I go, this is 10-minute talk. And he goes, yeah, I know. I go, there's 165 slides. I said, I'm going to bet you right now you don't get through 20 of them. I said, so what are you thinking you're going to accomplish? You know, he goes, I told you, people need longer than this. I said, I'm telling them to clap you off the stage when this timer they're going to watch hits zero. So you get 10 minutes. And he says to me, I love this. He goes, if you say 10 minutes one more time, I'm not going to go up there. And I said, okay. And so we just did it and we let him go. And sure enough, you know, the 10 minutes came and they started to applaud and he kept talking. Like if he just kept talking, they wouldn't end his talk. And after I want to say 30 to 45 seconds of applause, he finally said into the microphone, I guess that's my time. And he handed the mic over. And I asked him afterwards, you know, because I saw so many people afterwards that wanted to tell me about my idea and what they thought of it. I asked him afterwards how that went for him. And he said, I mean, it was okay, but you're going to find out that this is never going to work. And, you know, I only say that to say is that, you know, some of the very best talks over the last 8 years have been 4 minute talks because people have to be really laserly focused as to what they're going to say. And they have to spell it out. I mean, anyways, so how we run Sparks real quick is it's a once a month evening event. Happens on the second Wednesday of the month and has for 8 years pretty much. And it's a 30-minute show. So the doors open at 5 and people come in and they get a cocktail and they have appetizers, which I think is a lot of the reasons why people love Sparks is because there's food and there's drinks and there's fun people to meet. It's great energy. That's people come to connect prior to the show. And the show starts at 6 o'clock and it usually lasts about 35 to 40 minutes. It's two 4 minute talks and then one 10 minute talk. So you add those together and it's 18 minutes of content along with me introducing the concept, talking about our sponsors, introducing the speakers, takes a minute each. So there's another 3 minutes there. So we fill it at 35 minutes. It's a pretty brisk show. It goes pretty quickly, which is what I wanted. I wanted to break the pattern of connection, having everybody coming in, interested in connecting with other people, interested in what they're going to hear, which is why we don't tell people what the Sparks talk is going to be about. We tell them a theme now. We did that like 2 years ago. We started themes, or 3 years ago, we started themes, but just to give them an idea about what they might hear. But the secret sauce to the whole thing is it's just like going to church. If you go to church on Sunday, you're not there because he's going to speak on adultery, whatever, you know, you're not going to do that. You're going to come interested in what you're going to walk away with. And because you're not told in advance, you're going to focus very, very laser-like on what it is you're there to hear. And you're open, you're interested, and you're attentive, and all of those things combined in a short message span makes about 80% of people go, ah, found it. I found the thing. And the reason is because they don't want to look like a person that wasted an hour of their time. They want to be able to walk out, even though they might not remember what it was 2 weeks later, they want to walk out with that feeling of, I was there, I paid attention, and I got something for my time and energy and focus. And the exact same thing happens with Sparks is that, you know, people are, got to quiet down because we're videotaping, you got to stop that side chatter, put your phone on stun, and focus up for, you know, about 25 minutes. And you're going to walk away with some golden nugget of wisdom that you were meant to be there for. And it's been 8 years, and every month I still see people every month that come up to me and say that same thing.
Wow. And so, Chris, what advice do you have for new entrepreneurs today?
Plan. I tell people that all the time, the greatest compliment is, I'm going to start a business just like you did. And I say, don't do it. And I tell people, you know, if you're going to start a small business, save up for a year to 2 years worth of your bills, have it in the bank because you're going to need it. The whole, you know, e-myth of and the sexiness and the alertness of being in business for yourself is not for everyone. My dad was an independent insurance broker, and he said to me, Chris, he says, you can go broke anytime you want to. You're allowed. It'll happen instantly the moment you relax and take your eye off the ball. And so here, gosh, 12 or 14 years later, am I where I want to be? No. know, I'd love to have a ton of money in the bank and everything, but where I am is not where I was. And I'm super grateful for the people, the experiences, and the relationships that have come as a result of doing this this way, is what I mean by that. Is like there's a billion ways to do things, and you run into people probably networking wise that have their, hey, this is going to work for me, and you listen, and you go, there's no way, one, that's not going to work for me ever, but it probably won't work for you even though you say it's going to work for you. But we have to be there for people and help as best we can. So for me, the advice is really planning and being prepared for a lot of ups and downs before it ever gets anywhere near smooth. And here I am 12 or 14 years later, still being able to go broke whenever I want to. But I have such a network developed that, I mean, you probably see some posts that I put out, and I appreciate you commenting on the posts that you do, but every time I put up a, I'm looking for this, or who knows someone that does this, it is just an explosion of 50 to 100 opinions that get, you know, rained down on these posts. And half the time I'm doing that for myself, but the other half of the time I'm doing that for other people, because they ask me, who do you know that does this? And instead of trying to dust this old dusty melon off, I'll just put a post up like that and tell them to watch it, you know, and they'll just, you know, write all the names down that they want to go after or whatever and take it from there. So I don't think entrepreneurialism is for everyone. I think it's for some people. I think half the people that start small businesses should have not started small businesses. They should have just found better people to work for that understood their talents and strengths and could help them along the way. Vice versa, they could both help each other along the way. And I'm 12, 14 years into this and saying to myself, if somebody came along and offered me a couple $100,000 a year to run whatever for them, and it looked interesting and fun, and I could get a 1-year contract, I would say yes to that in a heartbeat, because it would just be fun to do, you know. But I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up on this insane dream of being able to wake up every day, work for myself, and put a roof over my head. It's just too exciting. It's just super exciting way to live.
Absolutely. Now, Chris, how can our viewers and listeners get a hold of you if they want to learn more or register for an upcoming Sparks event?
Sure. Well, you know, the easiest way to find me is CaptainSelfie.com. If you go to CaptainSelfie.com, it will lead out to all the other businesses that I've spoke of during this talk, Sparks being one of them. But you can go directly to SparksTalk.com, and you can check us out there. With what's happened in the world, we've kind of put it on pause. I know that this episode and the date that it comes out is going to be after our August event. And I kind of want to talk about that for just 1 second. Is the idea that is that on the 12th of August, which will be a few days ago, we will have held, if it all works out, our 8th anniversary party that should have happened in June. We're going to hold that. And we're hoping that we'll have a good crowd. We have speakers lined up for that, and food and catering lined up for that. And at that point, our goal is to go back to the second Wednesday of every month for September and so forth. Do we have a home for that? No, we don't. We're still trying to figure that out and what that home looks like. But what I'll say to people is that we want to be responsible in offering live networking events. I feel personally that if people would just elbow bump and you know, not get within 5 feet of each other and not come out if they have a fever or feel ill at all, then I think we'd be fine going forward. But especially this one in August, our first one is going to be outdoors. It's going to be in an open space in Tony Sandlin at Midwest Balloon Rides hangar up in Fishers. And it's a big open space and it's kind of 90% outdoors. So I'm hoping that'll help a lot, but I'd like to get back to it. I miss it. But I also don't want to be the guy that, you know, flew my exuberance to get started in the face of logic over health risks. So we'll try to be responsible and walk that line.
Absolutely. That's a delicate place to be and make sure that you're protecting everyone. So, Chris, thank you so much for being our guest today. And to everyone watching and listening, thank you for catching this episode of the Open in Indiana podcast. Catch our next episode soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Open in Indiana podcast. This podcast is produced by Henry Marketing Group, LLC, DBA Open in Indiana. To listen to more episodes, visit www.openinindiana.com/shows. Thanks for listening.